You could please find your way back to a seat. Thank you very much. You're doing great. Thank you. Well, I trust that you and your family had a very thankful Thanksgiving. Yes. Wonderful time together. I know Jody and I were incredibly blessed to have our son and his family and their good friend Catherine from Lancaster up this week with us. And we had my mom and dad came in. It was the first time my mom and dad have been up in 5 years. So they wanted me to, I know some of you have been especially praying for my dad over the last couple of years. He's gone through a whole lot, and he just wanted me to make sure everybody got thanked for praying for him, and he's doing somewhat better, and you can continue to pray for both my mom and my dad. And, I don't know, I better not say a whole lot publicly, but anyways, we had an absolutely wonderful time with our family this year, and Friday we got a chance to get together with Jody's side of the family and saw some folks we hadn't seen in many years, and just a really good time, really good time. Well, if you've been here over the last number of weeks, you'll know we're doing a series called What's in Your Fruitcake. And the very first week we talked about how at holiday time is this American, I guess it's somewhat of a tradition that fruitcakes kind of get passed around from family to family. Some people spend weeks prior to like Christmas, putting their fruitcake together and making ready for that. And so we've kind of been looking at that, using that as kind of an idea or a launching pad to talk about the fruits of the Holy Spirit leading up to Christmas. And we've characterized those fruits, the fruits of the Spirit, as being the nature of God that He wants cultivated in our lives so that we can participate with Him in displaying Him to the world and culture around us. And so we've been looking at Him. Actually, we've been going backwards. So we started with self-control. We've been looking at gentleness, faithfulness. Last week we talked about goodness. And remember the very first week I talked to you, I talked about how a follower of Jesus, it's expected that there's going to be fruit coming out of our lives because of our attachment to Him. Remember, He's the vine, we're the branch, and there better be something on the end of that branch that reflects who it is we're attached to, right? You know, so many Christians, so many people, they think, well, all I've got to do is just ask Jesus to be my Savior and then continue to live however they want. That's not how God's designed this thing. That's not what His intentions were. His intentions were is that you and I would come to the end of our ropes. We'd come to the end of our striving and trying to do life on our own and see our need, our desperate need, to invite Him into our life and become connected with Him. And in that connection or out of that connection would come a transformation. You know, before we were kind of putting out lemons and prunes, and you know, we were putting out stuff that wasn't who God was. And now we're privileged. Did you know that when Jesus said that you would produce fruit in order to glorify my Father in heaven? Did you know that in Bible times, if people saw themselves as having an opportunity, I'm specifically thinking of priests, the high priests, they waited patiently for years in expectant, excited anticipation for their one moment to bring glory to God through service and duty to Him. They waited in line patiently, Lord, can this be my year? Can this be my moment to serve and honor and glorify you in that way? The cool thing about this whole thing is you and I think that's part of our dilemma because we can do this any day, every day, all day long, it somehow is passé. But I'm telling you, as I've been learning this stuff anew, I'm so excited about having the opportunity to participate in what God is doing and be able to reflect Him to the world around us. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you once again to turn to Galatians chapter 5, and we're going to read together. I'm reading from the NIV translation, and I realize everybody doesn't have that, but it's just a couple of verses, so hopefully you'll know it by memory by now. Okay, verse 22, if you're there. Say it with me if you would. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Remember the very first week I talked to you when we started talking about these fruits? I said they're trying to outlaw everything, right? The fun police are out there trying to wreck everything and outlaw everything. And we're blessed that I like the fact that it says there's no law against these things. We can do these things as much as we would like to. Okay, so anyways, there are those of us here in the room this morning that would remember back in the 80s and 90s. I don't know if you know, there are a lot in the room here that don't remember back in the 80s and 90s. But there used to be these things called VHS tapes. And they played in this machine called a VCR. And a lot of times when you got the tape and you would watch whatever was on the tape, there was a label on the, what would you call that, the spine of the tape. A lot of times it said this, please be kind and rewind, right? They even made separate machines to put the tape in so that you could rewind them so you wouldn't wear out your VCR machine. Remember those days? Yeah. You still, well, these folks still have one. They still got one. Yeah. Some of the folks that are among us here this morning, you know, they're young enough not to, you know, when you say rewind, what do you rewind? Rewind what? There's nothing to rewind. So on the spine there, on the edge of the tape, it would say, be kind, please rewind. This morning, I'd like to talk to you about the fruit of kindness, the fruit of kindness. Now, while that's a very courteous thing to do, or, you know, when Blockbuster would get them back and they're already rewound, it would save them having to do that. Those are all really nice things to do. But this morning, this fruit of kindness that we're going to look at, as the Bible talks about it, it's more than just like a courtesy thing. It's more than just like being, you know, like a nice person for the moment. It's a lot bigger than that. So let's look at a couple words, because last week I ended by saying to you that goodness and kindness are very much connected. In fact, if I could say it to you this way, kindness proceeds out of the goodness that's in our hearts. Can I say it that way? Like, because goodness is growing inside of us, kindness now becomes the acts that flow out from that goodness, acts of kindness. Here are a couple definitions. The Hebrew word, C-H-E-S-E-D, can be rendered, as far as the definition, compassionate goodness shown to others. Again, it's the word kindness, but it means compassionate goodness shown to others. The Greek word, krestos means actions that come forth from goodness, gentleness, generosity, and grace. So it's those other things that work in our heart and life that lead us to do things that can be translated to be kind. Kindness starts with a sensitivity and a generosity towards others. Kindness is not just a transformation of our manners, it's a change and transformation of our heart. Now, I want to pause for just a moment and kind of say something that's a side note, because I want to clarify before we go any further that you or I doing a favor or some what we would translate as kindness towards somebody else and expecting something in return, or you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours mindset, is not kindness. Kindness does what it does, expecting nothing in return. No, that's when the Bible talks about kindness, it speaks of it in such a way that whatever it is we would do out of the goodness of our heart for someone else, we're absolutely expecting nothing else in return. That's kind of what makes kindness, kindness. Like if I'm doing something, expecting to get something in return, we might call that a favor. We might call that, you know, we could put a number of terms to it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's kindness as the Bible talks about it. Now, I don't know if you have noticed, but there seems to be sometimes a deficit in the area of kindness in our culture. In fact, just this past week, if you were paying attention to the news at all, you'll know that some buildings got burnt down in a particular city in our country because of, and I want to read to you before we read that those two verses out of chapter 5 in Galatians, that Paul, the same author that said those things, also said in verse 20, he said, these are the things that come out of our carnal or sinful nature, the nature within us that's not so good. He said, these are the kind of things, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. And this week, as I'm watching that stuff unfold, I'm thinking to myself, that is human nature run rampant. That is human nature right there on display doing its thing. And then I, at the same time that that's going on, we've got newspaper articles from our local area here. And Jody brought home, we don't often read the Arcade Herald, but she happened to bring it home for a couple of reasons. But anyways, I happened to be thumbing through it, and I found some articles about the snow thing that happened here a week ago. And some of the articles in the Herald were, listen to the title of this one, Trio of Good Samaritans Help Stranded Motorists on 400. Now, we all know, because I didn't want to point out Ferguson, Missouri, and somebody think that, you know, it's an ethnic thing. That's not what I'm talking about. We all know that even during this local snowstorm, some people were doing what they were doing to make a fast buck, right? The human nature, again, on full display, doing its thing. But intermingled in that kind of junk are people who are doing acts of kindness, expecting nothing in return. Right? They're just out there serving their fellow human being and, you know, whatever. We blessed you. We helped you. You know, we're moving on. Kindness is something that never goes out of style. You know, it never goes out of vogue. It never ceases to become something that people really value and appreciate. And I was, you know, sometimes I think we think that, you know, we live in some of the worst times ever, right? And I found this part of this speech that I found this week, and I want to read it to you. And I want to tell you when it was written from, what the date that it was written from. So let me read it to you first. Listen to what it says. It says, this is a speech that was given in a movie, actually. Listen to what they said. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate, has goose-stepped, and I'm not sure what that means, has goose-stepped us into misery and bloodshed. We have developed speed, but we have shut ourselves in. Machinery that gives abundance has left us in want. Our knowledge has made us cynical, our cleverness hard and unkind. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness and gentleness. Without these qualities, life will be violent and all will be lost. That was part of a speech given in 1940 by Charlie Chaplin. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm reading that, and I'm thinking you could have written that today, right? You could have, instead of machinery, we may have put in there technology or something like that for our times. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, the worst of human nature has always been kind of on display during history. And yet, in spite of that, there has always been this remnant of people. These people who, out of the goodness of their hearts, look to do that which is kind and gentle. Kindness and gentleness, those types of things will never go out of style. Mark Twain said, kindness is the language that the deaf can hear and the blind can see. The reason God wants us as his children, specifically his spiritual children. The reason he wants us to be kind is because he is kind. He wants us to reflect who he is, and because he is kind, he wants us to be kind. Look at some of these verses that the Bible talks about here in Psalm 117, 2. For his merciful kindness is great towards us, and the truth of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. 63, 2 and 3. How I wished I could go into your sanctuary to see your strength and glory, for your love and your kindness are better to me than life itself. Oh, how I praise you. 69, 16. Oh, Jehovah, answer my prayers, for your loving kindness is wonderful, and your mercy is so plentiful, so tender, and so kind. Now, here's the really cool thing about God's kindness. The really special thing about it is the Bible doesn't just talk about his kindness as though it were an attribute never to be on display. Listen to what Titus chapter 3, verses 3 and 4 says. But when the time came for the kindness and love of God our Savior to appear, then he saved us. Not because we were good enough to be saved, but because of his kindness and pity towards us. He washed away our sins and gave us the new joy of the indwelling Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us with wonderful fullness, and all because of what Jesus Christ our Savior did, so that he could declare us good in God's eyes, all because of his great kindness. And now we share in the wealth of his eternal life that he gives, and we are eagerly looking forward to receiving every bit of it. And now listen, verse 8. These things, Paul writes, he says, these things I have told you because they're all true. And I insist on them so that Christians will be careful to do good deeds at all times. For this is not only right, but it brings results. It brings results. Think of God's demonstration of kindness in what he did through Jesus Christ. Think of the results from that. Think of the ripple effect from that. Think of how many people's lives have been touched by that. Think of how many hospitals have been built because of that. Think of how many missions organizations have been established because God demonstrated his kindness. Think about how many starving people around the world have had food come to them because of God's demonstration of kindness and people's hearts and lives being touched by that, and they in turn demonstrate kindness. Think of the incredible impact of God's kindness. Frederick Faber, he is a hymn writer who wrote Faith of Our Fathers. He said this, he says, kindness has converted more sinners than zeal, eloquence, or learning. The kindness, the display of kindness. Henry Drummond, he was a contemporary of Dwight L. Moody during that revival. He said, the greatest thing a person can do for his heavenly father is to be kind to some of his other children. The greatest thing, he says, we can do is to be kind to other of God's children. Now, in the Bible, there are some awesome examples of kindness besides what Jesus did. I want to talk to you about three of them this morning to serve as kind of examples for you and I, to serve as things for us to model as we go about looking to cultivate this fruit of kindness in our lives. The first story is the story about I have a hard time pronouncing this, but I think it's pronounced Mephibosheth. Whatever he said. It's the story of that guy, all right? Now, in the Bible, there is this man David, the man after God's own heart, the Bible says, he starts out as a shepherd. He gets anointed as the future king of Israel, becomes a warrior for God, literally a warrior, you know, a battle guy, and then eventually becomes king. Well, in the process of this, Saul is over the nation of Israel, leading king over the nation of Israel. He has a son, Jonathan. And Jonathan and David become best buddies. They become the closest of friends. Now, that relationship was a little bit tense because at one point Saul realized he's jealous of David, and I think he knows something's up, and so he goes on a quest to eliminate David. And so we've got this relationship where Jonathan and David are incredibly tight. They're incredibly close. So the son of the guy, you got the picture, right? The son of the guy who's looking to kill David, they're best friends. That's a little awkward, right? But because of their closeness in relationship, they make this covenant with each other. And on David's side of the covenant, he says, listen, if anything ever happens to you, he says, Jonathan, he says, if anything ever happens to you, I want to continue to display kindness to your family. Now, think about the family we're talking about, right? Well, something did happen in a bloody battle. Both Jonathan and his father, Saul, end up being killed. Now, in their times and in their culture, whenever a new king was set in place, one of the things that they did was eliminate any possible threat to their kingdom. And one of the first things they would do was a lot of times kill the family members of the previous leadership so there was no chance of them rebelling against the new leadership. Right? Have I got it right? So it would have been totally culturally appropriate for David, when he is now anointed as king, to make sure that Saul and any portion of his family was either killed or marginalized in some way so that he could lead without fear of them coming back to dispose, to take his reign away. Well, that's not how David handled it. In fact, I don't know if it's the first time in history, but one of the first times in history, David, instead of doing that, instead of making life miserable for the family of Saul, he actually says in 2 Samuel 9:1, he says, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" So instead of eliminating them, I want to read to you the story of what he actually does for this one person that's brought to his attention. Will you bear with me as I read to you? It's a fairly lengthy passage, but you got to hear this. It says in verse 2, "Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David, and the king said to him, 'Are you Ziba?' 'Your servant,' he replied." The king asked, "Is there no one still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness?" And Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan." So now we've got Saul, Jonathan. Jonathan had children. We've got a son of his now. And this person, he is crippled in both feet. "Where is he?" the king asked. And Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Makari, son of Amiel in Lodabar." So the king David had him brought from Lodabar and from the house of Makir, I guess it is, son of Amiel. And Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him. Why do you think he said, "Don't be afraid"? That's right. "Don't be afraid, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and his servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for, and Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the sons kings. An extreme act of kindness. Now, here's what I want you to point out. I want to point out to you about this story. You know, it's easy to be kind to those who are kind to you. It's easier to be kind to those who are kind to you. But part of the nature of kindness, at least as the Bible describes it to us, is learning to be kind to those who haven't been kind to us. Do you remember Jesus talked about that if some people say some bad things about you, you bless them anyways? If people do some things that don't seem right to you, you turn the other cheek? No, it's in the Bible. It really is. I know you're looking at me like, really? Is that that? Because there's something in our human nature that doesn't want to operate like that. You know, okay, well, I'll be kind to the people who are nice to me. But the real definition of kindness and the depth of kindness that the Bible talks about, and I thought Jesus modeled that in an awesome way. As he's bleeding and dying and gasping for air, some of his parting words were, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I thought, wow, that is kindness at a level that's more than rewinding a tape, right? That's more than, you know, taking the tape out and please be kind, rewind. Okay, I'll do that. You know, so somebody else doesn't have to do it. The kindness the Bible talks about has a depth to it and a meaning to it and a largeness to it that goes beyond just trying to be kind to those who are kind to us. All right, let me talk to you about another story. This is over in the New Testament. Probably most of you have heard it before. In fact, it's one of the most common real-to-life stories that Jesus ever told. It's called the Parable of the Good Samaritan. And last week, I talked to you about the wealthy young ruler. Remember, the wealthy young ruler came and asked what he needed, what good thing was it that he should do in order to be able to inherit eternal life? Well, this week, it was actually a religious leader that came with the same question. Exactly the same question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And then Jesus answered it in a short way. He said this. This is the thing you must do. You must love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do you remember what the next question was? Who is my neighbor? Now, here, I'm not going to read the whole story to you, but you know that Jesus then began to tell a real-to-life story. A story that may not have been unfolding at the moment he told it, but I think probably did unfold somewhere along the way, and he reflected back on it. He said that a man was beaten up by thieves and robbers and found himself trying to survive, just trying to, I kind of get the impression like he was in really rough shape. And a priest came along that same road and saw the man lying in the ditch and navigated his way to the other side of the road so that he didn't have to come in contact with him. Then it goes on to say that a Levite, somebody who served in the house of God, also came down that same road, saw the man, and he did the same thing. He navigated his way around that person so that he didn't have to come in contact with them. And then Jesus said, and then a Samaritan came along, and when he saw that person, he not only went over to him, but he helped him, and he took him to a place where he could get his wound bandaged, where he could get help and recover from what had happened to him. And not only did he do that, he also took monies, resources that he had, and he gave it to those who were helping to care for him and said, if you need some more, let me know. I'll pay for his help. Now here is the, and then Jesus ends that story. He says to that religious leader and says to you and I today, go and do the same thing. Go and do likewise. Those were all random acts of kindness out of the goodness of that Samaritan's heart, right? Right? Now, here's the thing. Here's the twist of the story. Just a few verses before that, the Samaritan population had asked Jesus. He was there where they were living, and they asked Jesus to leave. We don't want you here. I mean, if Jesus had a reason to cop an attitude towards Samaritans and certainly not use them as the greatest example of goodness and kindness, he had a reason to do so. But again, the depth of kindness that's talked about and described in the Bible goes beyond people being nice to us. Go and do likewise. And then the last story I want to tell you quickly is, it's been labeled by others, and Jesus told a story of what's called the unmerciful servant. You may remember it. It's a story Jesus told about a king who had a servant that owed him a lot of money. Jesus said, the master said, we're going to sell that person and his whole family to try to recoup the debt that he owes. And it tells us that that servant went to his master and he begged and pleaded with him to have mercy on him and to forgive him of his debt, and that whenever he could, he would try to pay him back. And it says there that the king or the master had pity on him, he had mercy on him, and he canceled his debt. And then that servant went out and he found someone who owed him a few bucks. And that fellow servant who owed him a few bucks took the same approach towards his fellow servant that the servant had taken towards the master, asking him to please have pity on him and mercy on him. And that fellow servant didn't. He beat him up and and made life miserable for him. And then it tells us that the master found out about that. The master heard about that. And the story ends. It's one of the saddest stories that Jesus ever told in the Bible, because the story ends with that guy sitting in jail. Jesus, at the end of that, invites us to forgive other people like God has forgiven us. And I just want to say to us this morning that as we talk about this thing of kindness, one of the kindest things that you and I can do for our fellow human beings is forgive them. You know, we always think about, oh, I'm going to go over and rake somebody's leaves, or I'm going to go over and shovel somebody's driveway out, or I'm going to go over and, you know, bake them a pie and just take it to them, whatever. Those are all great. Those are wonderful. But I'm saying to us this morning, kindness is deeper than that. Kindness is bigger than that. And kindness calls us to forgive the ones that are hard to forgive. Listen to what Ephesians 4:32 says. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. So one of the greatest acts of kindness that any of us can perform is forgiving our fellow human beings. I'd like to end this morning. I'm almost done, but I'd like to give you four things that I think will help us cultivate kindness. Four things that will make this fruit of kindness grow better in our lives. Remember we talked that first week, I brought into you that grapevine that had a few puny little dried up things on the end of it. These four things I'm gonna share with you will cause that fruit at the end of that branch to have some fullness to it, some lushness to it, something that's attractive to other people. The first thing I would suggest to us, as I have been for all these fruits, is the best way to cultivate kindness is get close to the one who is utterly kind. If you spend time with the one who has been ultimately and utterly kind to you, it will help cultivate kindness in your heart. If you never spend time with God who is utterly kind, it's going to be hard for you to cultivate kindness. It's going to be difficult. Because your frame of reference is either yourself or other people or whatever. But when you touch base with the one, it's just like we sang here this morning, praise God from whom all blessings flow. When you start getting close to that person from whom all blessings flow, it's hard not to be kind to other people. It inspires kindness because you're drinking from the one who is utterly kind. Now, number two, use words that promote kindness. You know, we can be incredibly rude with each other, and especially at home. I want to encourage you, as you're cultivating this fruit in your life, to speak positively about others. When was the last time you as husbands said a kind word to your wife? When, as wives, have you said a kind word to your husband? When have you said kind things to your children? Get over here. Stop doing that. When was the last time you said something kind? Intentionally. You intentionally said, I am, you know, not like, you know, once a year on the fourth Friday of, you know, Hanukkah, you know, you muster up a little bit of kindness to say. I'm talking about In the flow of life, when have you intentionally said, I'm going to speak some kind words to the loved ones around me? Do you know compliments go a long ways? Our job, as I understand it, as the body of Christ, we are supposed to be, our One of our primary missions is to be building people up, not tearing people down. That's our job. Our job is to strengthen, fortify, enrich, encourage. That's our job. But, you know, it's so sad to see in the body of Christ that some people seemingly have made it their mission to make life miserable for other people. Just this past week, I was searching something. I don't remember what I was searching. I was searching for something. It was a ministry. And I was searching for this ministry to find out more about them. So I Googled them. You know, I Googled whatever it was. I can't remember what it was right as I'm standing here. I Googled it. I wanted to find out more. So sure enough, there it came up. But their website wasn't first. You know how you get like the like a menu of things to pick from, right? Theirs wasn't first. It was down a few. Do you know what the first few were? Websites dedicated to tearing down and destroying what that ministry was. Why you shouldn't be involved in this ministry, right? Now, who does that? Who anointed them to do that? Who commissioned them and said, your ministry in life is to wreck other people's ministries? Who did that? But sadly to say, I'm not talking about people out there. I'm talking about us. Our job, these fruits, there's no hint in any of these fruits that we're talking about and looking at that are supposed to be being cultivated in our life and on display for other people to know God by. There is no hint of anything like that in any of those fruits. Like I could look at those people who are trying to do that and say, okay, is that self-control? I don't think so. Is that gentleness? Don't think so. Is that faithfulness? Maybe faithfulness to tearing other people up. But you know what I'm saying? It's not in there. It's nowhere to be seen. You know, some people say, well, you know, they're just gifted at being able to point out errors. Okay, look for a different gift. You know, you might want to look for a different gift. All right, use words to promote kindness. Number three, look for kindness opportunities. Look for them. Look for opportunities to display kindness. Don't wait for them. Well, you know, if the thing hits me in my face, I'll do it. Get up in the morning looking for opportunities to be kind. Now, here's what I've found, is that sometimes these opportunities come up when we least expect them. They're random in how God brings them across our paths. And I've also found, for me personally, I've found that, you know, once that, it's like there's an open window. Okay, here's an opportunity to bless and to be kind and so forth and so on. And then that window closes, right? You can't go back and kind of redo that. You kind of have to seize the moment. You have to hop in while the door is open, so to speak. Don't squander opportunities to be kind. Look for opportunities to be kind. And finally, number four, seek to forgive others. Seek to forgive others. Again, I've already said it, but one of the greatest things you can do to be kind is to forgive those who have in some way negatively impacted your life. I just want to close with something. There was a survey taken. I can't remember who did it, but there was a survey taken. And they interviewed 37,000 married couples. And one of the questions on the survey was, what is the one trait that you would like to see most in your spouse. And by overwhelming margins, it wasn't 100%, but almost 100%, by overwhelming margins, the number one trait that other spouses desire to see in their spouse, both men and women, was kindness. They wanted their spouse to be kind. Proverbs 19:22 says, kindness makes a man attractive. Ladies, kindness makes a man attractive. I think when that verse says man, it means any person. But I want to say, I think it makes a man attractive. And as a man, Proverbs 31:26 says, this is about the woman now, she opened her mouth and wisdom came forth, and in her tongue was the law of kindness. I just want to say, as a man, I think kind women are very attractive. You know, I know some guys line up to see a cat fight. I'm not one of those. I like it when women are kind because there's something attractive about that. There's something that, in my mind, models and displays what God is like. So I end with the same question I started with. What's in your fruitcake? What's in your fruitcake? Is that fruit in there? Has that fruit been fully formed and developed, and is it growing well, or are there things that are hindering that, the growth of that? I got a little homework for you. I don't often do this. I rarely, if ever, do it, but I've got a little homework for you in this week to come. A number of years ago, I encouraged us as a congregation to try to go a week without complaining. Anybody remember that? Yeah. To try to go a week without complaining. Just 1 week without complaining about something. And what that does is it really heightens your awareness to how much you do complain, right? The weather, the service, the traffic, you know, whatever. We've always got something. Imagine for a moment, let's say there's 200, 250 of us here right now, adults. Imagine what would happen in our homes. Imagine what would happen, you know, I'm not saying, when I talk about this stuff on Sunday, I'm not implying that none of you ever do kind things. That's not what I'm talking about. I please don't ever walk away thinking that. There are incredible demonstrations of kindness that take place that happen from your lives. But here's what I'm saying. Can you imagine the different tone in our homes, the different tone at work, the different tone in our you know, our places that we frequent, if all of us in here took this next week to intentionally go about demonstrating the goodness that God's poured into our hearts through acts of kindness, intentionally. We just said, you know, tomorrow, Monday, even before today's out, I am going to find something to do that reflects God's kindness to people. I'm telling you, it would change. Stuff would change. Ring the bell at tops, an act of kindness. That's why I want you to try that this week. Would you try that? Just try doing, you know, speaking words of kindness at home, at work, where you frequent. try looking for opportunities to do something, expecting nothing in return, not looking for anything back, just doing something selflessly to bless other people, and then forgive. Whoa, forgive. Pastor Jeff, you always have to come back to that. Yes, I do. Because it's a huge downer when it comes to a lot of these fruits. Let us pray. Lord, we sang about it earlier. I want to mention it again here in prayer. We sang about all of your goodness towards us this morning. May we allow that same goodness to be reflected through our lives through acts of kindness. May it not be enough for us just to come here on Sunday mornings and sing a couple songs about how good you are to us. May that be not enough for us. May that not be sufficient. May there still be a hunger and a thirsting in our souls to go forth and live who you are. I'm praying, Lord, that you would help every father and husband in this room to be kind to their wife and their children. She would help every mom in this room to be kind to her husband and her children. That she would cause every boss in this room to be kind to their employees, and every employee in this room to be kind towards the place that they work. May we find it down deep in our hearts because you're at work within us. May we find ourselves wanting, Lord, desiring, willing, seeking to forgive those who have been unkind to us. You were kind to us when we weren't very kind to you. You did some great stuff for us when we didn't care about you at all. Lord, thank you for giving us the privilege of participating with you in displaying all that you are to those around us. And now, Lord, as we specifically go forth to see this fruit further cultivated in our lives, I pray that each of us in the ways that we know how, Lord, can be kind this week and the next week and the week after that. May it become contagious to us and to those around us because your grace, your goodness, your gentleness is flowing through our lives in a sufficient way, in an all-sufficient way, that stuff's coming out of us that looks like you. We know that we'll need your help to do it. That's why these are called the fruits of the Holy Spirit. We pray for the empowering work of your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Listen, you may need some personal prayer about such things. There'll be some folks up here to do that for you or with you. We've also got the prophetic team is on today. It's the last Sunday of the month, so they're going to be here. If you're needing like a fresh word from the Lord, a fresh sensing of what God might be wanting to do in your heart and life, these folks will be up here. God bless you as you go. Thank you so much for coming. Yeah, and in about...